Hey, Michael Steele podcast listeners, Michael Steele here with another quick take from the Michael Steele podcast. Check out what's going on right now.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Michael Steele podcast. I'm Michael Steele, and we are having a great conversation with my buddy, Rick Unger. Rick, as we were heading out to take our break before coming back, we heard the speaker announced that when they got back, the first bill that they want to tackle is 87,000 IRS agents.
By the way, it'll also be the first bill sent to the Senate from the House that the Senate rejects.
Yeah.
But you know what? I mean, it's really a perfect first bill for them. I'm finding this all so irritated because nobody wants to discuss the facts of this. Nobody wants to talk about the fact that over 50% of those IRS agents are designed to replace those who will be leaving over the next 5 years. Nobody wants to talk about the fact that this is over 10 years. This is not happening tomorrow.
Right.
Nobody wants to discuss the fact that overwhelmingly that money is going to be spent not on agents, not on people who will be coming after you for not paying your taxes. Nobody wants to discuss the fact that the entire plan for this is to go after high income people, that it has slid from 16% of all of the audits that were done 10 years ago, right? 16% of them were high net worth people. That's down to 3%. And where does most of our money come from? I mean, this is such a scam on the part of the Republicans. And you've got people sitting there going, yeah, go get them. Why? Because the Republicans are trying to convince them that this is aimed at middle income people. It's not.
It's not. It's not. But that again gets back to the part of our discussion before we went to break around the opportunities of Hakeem Jeffries and Chuck Schumer to a lesser extent, and certainly Joe Biden, to frame the argument. The fact that this 87,000 IRS agents piece has been allowed to ferment and, you know, get regurgitated the way it has speaks, I think, to the inability of Democrats to really get ahead of a story when they put something out, or the more importantly, take the story back when someone's trying to run with it in the wrong way.
Excellent point. Excellent point. The Democrats absolutely blew the management of this story. You are right on the money there. And by the way, I left off another fact, and that is if we don't go forward with this, we are going to lose. You're going to add over $100 billion to the deficit. And why is that? Because we're not collecting the money we need to run the country. So, yes, the Democrats, everything that you just heard me say, and all of it can be easily checked out, it's factually accurate. The Democrats could have been out there saying this all along. But
yeah.
I don't think that they understood it.
Yeah, you know, I think that's fair. And I, you know, just to put it in context, understanding it not in, oh, we don't know what's in the bill or we don't know what it means, but understanding the political implications
right, of
having something like that out on the street, particularly when of everything that's in the bill, that's the thing they pull out
right,
to talk about.
Right.
And it's
see, the Republicans are still way better at messaging. They
yes,
always have.
Yeah,
been.
We have been. There's no doubt about that. It's part of the bread and butter because it creates the butter to put on the bread. Right.
It's also easier, I have to say, when you're making up a narrative, it's easier to craft your message when you have to tell the truth in your message and it's complicated. That's tougher.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it goes to, I think, the larger storylines that we've seen emerge for some time now between the two parties, that the kind of individuals you have who are going to be the point people to effectively communicate these types of messages, the party in power, it's obviously going to be the president, the party out of power. It could be any number of players.
Right.
As long as and the one thing we're good at is constructing the message for every player in the room. So, you know, when we're out of power, we're out of power. You're not going to, you can turn on the Sunday shows and you'll hear the same thing from line to line. That's been a little bit more of a challenge for Democrats over the years. Let's go back a little bit to Matt Gaetz, because I think Gaetz is an interesting figure here, particularly in the governing piece. There are aspects of Matt Gaetz that I think actually wants to, I think he wants to create some better bona fides than he has, you know, to sort of elevate the street cred. I mean, I have that sense about him. It's kind of hard though when you've been equated with wanting to go, you know, grapple with 18-year-old girls and
right.
and all of that, and certainly the way you behaved here in the House. But how should we take him and a Jim Jordan, a Marjorie Taylor Greene, a Boebert, Gosar, all of these characters, because that's what they really are in the public's mind at this point. They're not considered serious legislators. They're not considered serious people.
Actually, I think Jim Jordan may be taken more seriously. Not by me, but I think by the public.
Yeah, but for what? Name the bill that Jim Jordan has pushed through the Congress.
Yeah, but that's, you're right. But that's not how people see him. What they see is when there is a committee on television and Jim Jordan's being a hard ass.
But that's actually it. You know, when we played the clip of him talking about the governing, you know, democracy is messy. Well, okay, that's a soundbite.
Right.
That's the best you got after
and not watching, a very original one at this
right,
point.
Right. After watching what Republicans have done legislatively over the last 7 years.
Yeah.
So what's your take, though, I guess, more collectively? And I'll put a little asterisk next to Jim Jordan for, you know, a whole host of reasons. The fact that the young men out there who suffered. Anyway,
when he was a wrestling coach,
the wrestling storylines around him. What's your take though on what this group will look like and how they shape what happens or doesn't happen?
I'm not hopeful that you'll see much change. It's interesting to hear your take on Matt Gaetz. Maybe Matt Gaetz has reached a point in his life where he wants to be taken more seriously. That could be. There's certainly nothing that has prepared me to take him seriously. That could change. But right now, I just see him as a dilettante who likes to make trouble because it gets him publicity and fundraises. I don't know. I mean, look, the Freedom Caucus is no different today than it's been all along. The only difference is they finally hit a circumstance where their clout meant something. And
right.
It was in this speaker's battle. It's really the first time. You know, the Freedom Caucus has always been on that edge where they have something to say about what happens in Republican politics. And they can be a roadblock. They can be a problem. But it really wasn't until now that they had a real impact. So we may be coming into a new era with them. My bet would be if they are gaining all of this additional power, my bet would be they'll probably screw it up, because most of them, not all of them, but most of them really just aren't very clever.
Right. Right.
You know, MTG, Lorraine Boebert, these are not people that I find to be overwhelmingly clever. By the way, just to, you know, to keep it balanced, I don't find AOC to be overly clever.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's focused on being a rock star and not a serious, competent legislator. So it's not all on the,
right.
the Republican side. But I don't think that they're going to be able to rise to the moment of their power. Here they've got it. I think they'll squander it and they'll blow it.
Well, let's listen to Matt Gaetz, who disagrees with you.
Yeah, I'm sure he does.
This is from an interview that he did at Fox News anchor Emmanuel.
You've taken some praise from people who like the fight that you led this week. You've also taken some criticism. Some people saying this is about fundraising, this is about more media appearances. Do you consider yourself a serious legislator?
Well, absolutely. I mean, one of the reasons we fought for these rules was to ensure that all members of Congress can get involved in the legislative process at a more granular level. For far too many years, under both Republican and Democrat control, power has been centralized in a select few, and that's not good for the Republic. I am not one that's really dearthed for a lot of media appearances. I think I'm someone who appears on your network and others more than any other member of Congress, so it's an odd criticism to say that I'm doing this for media hits when I do a lot of those anyway.
Well, he is still doing it for the media hits.
Yeah.
But
most of what he said there was bullshit. However, he does have a point.
Yeah, he does. And one of the points I think is an example would be in those rules, the fact that it now allowing 3 days for members to read the bill so that they can actually vote on something that they're familiar with.
And I actually don't think that's enough time.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening today. Please go to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star review. Heck, give us 2 5-star reviews. I love it. Or catch us on Stitcher, iHeart, TuneIn, or wherever you get that podcast thing on. You know how that goes. Peace out.
Retaliation with Julie Roginski is a weekly podcast focused on the stories of women who have spoken truth to power and have persevered despite the costs. It shares the experiences of courageous people who have sometimes been celebrated, but too often castigated for standing up for themselves and for others. Each week, I examine the structures, systems, and culprits responsible for perpetuating and promoting workplace toxicity. You'll hear stories from female celebrities, music label executives, politicians, police officers, and many others as we examine the cultural reevaluations, policy changes, and legal steps that can finally bring an end to the ongoing attack on women in this country and around the world. Listen on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.